I didn't know you were going to take 45 minutes. As I was preparing for this morning, God impressed upon me the psalm that a lot of us have memorized some of it from, some of the verses from it. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 46. But as we start, may I ask you a question to start our day? When things seem to be coming at you, like the waves that you're walking through when the tide is coming in, where do you run for protection? Where do you find safety and protection from the situation you're in? I like this illustration I found from Don Shirley. Don says, I can remember as a young boy playing game after game of hide and seek. We hid in the closets, toy boxes, behind the doors and inside drawers. The thrill of hearing the seeker brush right by you and not guessing where you were was just so thrilling. Psalm 139, David makes it clear that there is no hiding from God. He wrote, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. We should never try to hide from God, but we should always try to hide in God. His name, His presence, His shadow, His word are the places of refuge for a child of God. Solomon wrote, the name of the Lord, and we have probably memorized this one as well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. And David said, because you have been my helper, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Don goes on to say, these are not just religious platitudes or wishful thinking. God's care for his children is real, and his love and protection are practical, tangible things. God hears our prayers, comforts our sorrows, gives us strength in our weakness, and delivers us from all of our troubles. God invites us daily to walk in the light of his presence and to live life before the glory of his throne. Hide and seek is a kid's game, but when we hide in God and seek his face, we always and ultimately win in life. Today, we are going to look at what it means for Christ Jesus as our refuge. So if you haven't already, turn to Psalm 46. If you're using the blue pew Bible in front of you, it's page 455. And let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We need to hear from you. People don't need to hear from Pastor Doug. We, each one of us, including me, we need to hear from you this morning. Lord, you are here, and we're going to proclaim that together. When two or three are gathered, you are among us. We know that. That's your promise. But this morning, we just need to hear from you to work in our hearts and lives, to change us, to mold us, to be more like Jesus. So open up your word now to us. Enlighten our hearts, our mind, and soul, that we can walk with you closer and closer. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist makes a statement that we are all familiar with. And like I said, most of us have memorized it. But if you haven't, look to verse 1. He says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. The first point we see from the psalmist is God is our refuge and strength. He goes on to clarify this by saying God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Refuge to the Jewish people meant a safe place from danger and even death. In Bible times, there were these refuge cities. If somebody accidentally killed someone, they could run to these cities and they were protected. Then when the trial came, the elders of the city held the trial. And if the person was found innocent and he deliberately did not do the murder of that person, he could remain in that city and live the rest of his life and be safe and secure. Now, if he went outside the walls of that city, there was no protection for him. So the city of the walls gave him that protection. Now, we could say God, or Jesus Christ, was often described as a place of refuge, where one could run to for shelter from the world, such as people, situations, stressful jobs, school, friends, and the list can go on. David said this, O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, ripping me into pieces with none to deliver. He says again, in the Lord's I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then Samuel says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Isaiah says this about our God, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. And we read what Jeremiah says about God as our refuge. O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in day of trouble. And one more from Paul. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise of the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as the forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest. Through Christ, we are provided a shelter from danger, and his strength gives us the ability to do something that may frighten us and power for the moments of pain and grief. As the one commentary said, God's help is both present and proven, ready and reliable. Jesus is always available, no matter what comes our way. In the worst that could happen, he is near for us and always there to help us. The psalmist gives us an illustration that may be the way we feel like some days, as if our world has been shaken and all that we depend on has fallen into the sea. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me. He says, There we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The psalmist has imagined the worst of all worst of things that could happen. But he said, we need not fear. Just like the song we sang earlier, no longer slaves to fear. We don't need to fear. How can we say this, or how can he even say this, when the whole world is falling apart? In Bible times, it was thought that the land was set upon pillars that reached down to the bottom of the undersurface of the ocean, where the foundations of the mountain was as well. He gives a word picture for us. As the earth and the mountains are given way into the ocean, as the commentary says, this would be an undoing of this fundamental structure of creation, the separation of land and sea. We can imagine, as the psalmist did, the most sudden damage and suffering or large-scale alteration that could take place, and find out if our faith and our trust in God has been challenged. It would be a very hard situation for us. But God is faithful. He is always there for us. He has not gone anywhere. Whatever happens to us, He is still there, and we do not need to fear. Christ is our security, our helper, our strength, our refuge, and an ever-present help for us and for us. If we put our hope in Christ, we have no reason to fear. He is our unchangeable refuge. Imagine this. Is he allowing these tough situations in our lives, the earthly things that we put trust in and find security in, to help us learn to depend on him better? Christ as our refuge is where we can go to be safe, sheltered from the danger and trouble. There is no person or thing or anything else that we can put our trust in than put our trust in Jesus. The psalmist goes on to say, God is our stronghold, our mighty fortress. Look at verses 4 to 7 with me. He says, therefore is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We get a picture of the city of God. The city of Zion, or known to us, the Jerusalem. Now this is the new Jerusalem when Christ the Messiah returns and reigns forever. The Creator of the universe will be in close relationship with his people. Those of us who are followers of Christ, who has accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Imagine this about the city of God. It is a fortress. It is invulnerable from attacks. It has unfamiliar height, an untouchable mountain of a city. The temple of the Creator resides in the city. God residing in the city makes it such a strong force that can't be touched by anything or anyone. It is untouchable by the enemy. The enemy brings chaos, but because of God, the chaos is turned upon the enemy. Attacks usually happen in the break of dawn. Think about it in your life. When do you get attacked? A lot of times in the morning, and there's unrest, and there was unrest when they were trying to attack the city. But because God resides in this city, no enemy can come against it. The city is a fortress because of God himself residing there and because of his almighty power. The same is true for our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, resides in each of us at the point when we accepted Christ as our Savior. He comes and lives and dwells inside our heart. God's almighty power is there for us in the mornings and other times when the attacks come our way. He is the mighty fortress and the almighty power that we can live our lives by. This was the inspiration for Martin Luther to write a song, A Mighty Fortress. A lot of us know this, but I wanted us to look at these words. Kent's going to put them up on the screen. Here are the words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing? Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth's his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though the world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word, above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and gifts are ours. Through him who with us sideth, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. You get that? His kingdom is forever. The enemy has lost. He has lost the battle. Possibly when the psalmist was writing this, he was thinking of the difference God made in the past when God was among his people. The enemy's armies fled in panic when they saw the great king, God, who was in the city. The presence of God makes a difference. There is victory because of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 48, "In the city of the Lord Almighty is the city of God. God makes her secure forever." There are no enemies. Let me say it again. There's no enemies that can harm us. Just as the city is secure, we are secure because of the Lord's armies is the stronghold for those of us who are his followers. And take note that the psalmist mentioned a river in Jerusalem. Now, although if you know your geography, there is no river in Jerusalem. It doesn't exist. The commentary in the Archaeological Study Bible helps us understand this by saying this. There is no river in Jerusalem. Here, river serves as a metaphor for the continual outpouring of the sustaining and refreshing blessings of God. Think about this. What does this have to do with us? If we've asked Christ Jesus into our lives, we have surrendered our lives to his lordship. He comes and lives with us. In a sense, his throne resides in our bodies, our life, our heart. We then have the all-powerful God living and fellowshipping with us. We have an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. It is his power, his strength, his victories, his security, his stronghold in our lives. Christ living in us gives us the strength for, you name it. Whatever it is, he gives us the strength for it. And out of this, there can be this continual outpouring of his sustaining and refreshing blessings as we surrender daily, as Paul talked about. You and I need to surrender daily at the cross and live in full surrender to Jesus. His will, his plan, his desires, his thoughts, his word. All this as we give him complete control each day and moment in our lives. Imagine the difference that the world would be and what our lives would be like with this refreshing blessing of God touching us and everyone around us in our lives flowing out, as Paul talked about. It would come in contact with all those around us. If we live for him and not for ourselves and for our own desires and also for our own wants, that would make a difference. Right now, take a moment to think about what is going on in your life. I'm just going to give you a few seconds. Just think about what's going on in your life right now. What struggles or stress or disappointments or differences with a person, a loss, whatever it may be, know that it is not too difficult or too big or too late or too hard for God to handle it for you. God is still here, and he hasn't gone anywhere. All it takes is to surrender it over to him and give him control of the situation. Like the fortress of the city of God, Christ can be the fortress, the stronghold in our lives. Christ is our refuge, our security, our helper, our fortress, our stronghold. And now, let's look at Christ as our defender. So many times, we fight or try to fight our own battles. This is nothing new under the sun since the beginning of creation when man fell. What is the saying? Pride that goes before the fall of man. The psalmist knew what we tend to do. We tend to try to handle things on our own. But he encourages us and comforts us by reminding us that God will fight our battles and God will defend us against our enemies. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. He says, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields, or as the other version says, chariots, with fire. The psalmist said, "Come and see what the Lord has done." This sets the tone for who fights the battles. The Israelites did not need to worry or make great efforts on their behalf. They knew that God does and has done the impossible for them. The psalmist reminds them and us as well what God has done. He caused wars to cease, set chariots on fire, brought devastation on the earth. If we look at Psalm 136, we get a great picture of all God has done for the Israelites. He struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians. He brought Israel out from among them. With a strong hand and outstretched arm, he divided the Red Sea. He led Israel through. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. He led his people in the wilderness and struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. He gave their land as an inheritance to Israel's servant. He remembered them in their humiliation and rescued them from their foes. He gives food to every creature, and he has done so much more. For them to remember how God had provided in the past can give them great strength and courage for the now and future. Remember this, as they did, personal circumstances, no matter how big or small, no matter how complicated or how simple, no matter who or what it is never exceeding of what God can do, of God's power and his faithfulness to us. He is with those who are his people, those who have a personal faith in Christ Jesus. Christ is with us, and he is our defender. We are weak, but he is strong, as Paul says. He is the defender of the weak. Paul says, "But Christ said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Our personal circumstances never, ever exceed what God can do for us. Let me say that one more time again. Our personal circumstances never, ever exceed what God can do for us. Take courage in God. His grace is sufficient for each of us, and then more beyond what we can even think is possible. And then the psalmist says something pretty profoundly. Look at verse 10 with me. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." There is a command for us. Those who worship God as the God, the only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is no other God, and this command is given to us who follows him, the true God and Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior of his people. He says two things that we should remember when we are in the middle of a situation that's difficult, that seems like disorder and confusion and totally unpredictable. We are told to be still and know that I am God. In these situations, we are to remember to seek him. We are to rest in his power to save us from our struggles, our personal circumstances that are going on in our lives. Each of us, sooner or later, are deeply upset or agitated with something that's happening in our lives. It feels unbearable. It could be that we want out of it, like wanting out of a job or a relationship or a friendship or neighbor, family member, or something very hard situation. Our thought is, we can't handle it. I can't handle this situation, and we want out. It's causing us too much stress. We want to stop and run. We don't handle these situations by fighting against them, but to stop and be still and know that I am God. God is calling us to rest in him. Be still is a command from God to stop. That's enough. We are to be silent. Take time to listen to God in the silence. God's voice can be heard over all the chaos in our lives. This also suggests for us to trust in Christ and see fear and anxiety going by the wayside. When we think of it, think of being still, we come to a point of recognizing God's supreme power and authority, and it removes that panic that we may have in this situation. When we can't find God or sense God in a situation that seems out of control, something like a wildfire blazing through acres and acres of land, silence and stillness are what we need to hear so we can hear him. In the silence, we are who are his children will know his presence and know he is with us and know he has a plan for our future. God's voice breaks through the noisiness of life when we become still. In our times of quietness, we hear the voice of God. Do you want to know God? Be still and experience God anew and in a fresh awakening of your soul. I love the way the author here finishes up. Look at verse 11. He says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." He comes back to the beginning, you know, as God is our refuge and strength. He says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The Lord Almighty is best understood as a reference to God's supreme power and authority. He is all-powerful, and there is none anywhere like him. He is all-powerful, and his power is over the whole universe. And this is the God whom we worship, the God that we adore and love. He is the one who is with us. God is here. He is always here. He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. He is not going anywhere. Where you and I are, he's there. As we conclude, if I would ask you a question today, what is God teaching you and me? How would you answer that? When life is a struggle for you and I, who do we put our trust in? Do we try to solve it on our own? Or do we seek out God and his mighty power and his strength? Is Jesus really the one that we find refuge in? Is he the one that we find shelter from the world and all that is going on in our lives? Or do you and I rely on our own strength or on our own knowledge to try to figure things out? Or do you and I rely on things or other people? God is always present, ever present, as the psalmist said. We can find rest in him. When is the last time you and I took time to be still and know that he is God? We can still hear God's voice, but we need to take that time to listen in our busy lives. God's grace that has been poured out for each one of us through Jesus Christ is all we need to help us in times of trouble. Just think for a moment, all that God has done for you. I told Tanner and Janelle that I'm giving a homework assignment. Here's your homework assignment for this week. God bless you. As the psalmist did, I want you to take some time. When you have quiet time alone with the Lord, think about what God has just done for you in this past week. Write it down. Think about the last month. Think about the last year. Think about your life and all that God has done for you. Write it down. It's really important that we take time to do that. Because as we look at that, that will encourage us to see all that God has done for us and he's always been there for us. God is always with us. And he does a great work in our lives. But sometimes We just don't take the time to be quiet and listen and see all that he's done for us. And when we do that, that'll give us strength and encouragement to carry on. As the psalmist proclaimed in Psalm 136, God will fight our battles. He will give us his almighty strength and defend us from our enemies. God is very capable to be our refuge and strength. There's no one like our God. Can you say amen to that? There's no one like our God, really. Amen, right. Who can stand up against him? That is who we have on our side. I don't know if you heard of Phil Wickham's song, Battle Belongs, but I really like the song. Whatever Tanner is, this is on our list to do. Listen to these words. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win in every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Will you pray with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for that reminder today for each one of us. No matter what's going on in our lives, and life is so hard, sometimes unexpected things, sometimes it's just when we lose a loved one, sometimes it's just getting along with our neighbors or friends or a brother of Christ, or just a tough situation at school, just a class maybe that we're struggling with, or it's taking a stand for what is right in the world that seems like the world's going total opposite. You are with us. You are with us in everything, and we can find refuge and peace and strength and encouragement in you. You fight our battles. And no matter where we go in our lives, no matter where we are, if it's here or overseas, no matter where, you're always with us. And this morning, Lord, may we take courage in that. And may we be reminded that we can come to you, as the psalmist reminded us, to come and be still and know that you're God, and come on our knees and just give it over to you. So we worship you today, Lord Jesus. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.